This is Turnbuckle Trash.
So, but this one thing I wanted to get to before we end this segment, I wanted to talk to you, Zane, about something that occurred last week on Monday Night Raw, and that would have been on the 17th of this month. And, well, no, it would have been on the 18th of this month. And it was when they started off the show with Triple H announcing that four members of NXT were making their debuts on the main roster. That would have been Aleister Black. It would have been Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, and Ricochet. He did this for a 15-minute segment at the beginning of the show. Okay, I love all four of those guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think they are just future stars. But here's what happened today. There is a guy named Pat McAfee, a former place kicker in the NFL, big wrestling fan, recently hired as part of the social media stuff in the WWE, okay? Mm-hmm. He gets on today, and on Facebook, he is just all over the crowd last week on Monday Night Raw in Lafayette, Louisiana, for not being excited and cheering on the NXT guys.
Okay.
Okay, here's what got underneath my skin. They showed a lot of the people in the crowd really not into it.
Yeah.
And I said on the Facebook page, I made the comment, like, what are they supposed to do? The element of surprise has been taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
They might have known Ricochet from his days in Lucha Underground. They might have been watching NXT. But they knew he was going to be on the show. So when he came out to help Finn Balor later that night, where was the surprise? Where was the heat they could have gotten from him appearing to help out Finn Balor? It was non-existent because they knew he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And you say it many times. Why do they announce every?
Yeah, and you know, and another thing I thought was foolish about the whole situation was, here you've got a guy that's fairly new on the roster, you know, in Elias. And, you know, I honestly, Dave, I can see them doing to Elias exactly what they've done to Dolph Ziggler. I mean, every frickin' time Dolph Ziggler is over with the crowd and over with the fans, you know, it's just like, oh, never mind. You're pushed right straight to the back. I mean, where's Dolph right now? I mean, who's this? I mean, if it were up to me, Dolph would be in up against Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, because Dolph is that good.
Right.
He is championship material in that caliber, and the guy can carry. He can cut promos. He can, sell moves.
He's one of the best sellers in the business.
I agree 100%. And, you know, here Elias is, and he puts over Aleister Black. You know, I was a little bit confused by that, because I'm like, what good did that do anybody at all?
It didn't do anybody any good.
And I don't think – I mean, like, when Aleister Black's music hit, it was – I think you could have heard crickets chirping in there. Like, I don't think anybody in that crowd knew or knows who he is. I don't know, though. Maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong.
Well, I think the element of surprise was gone, too.
Yeah.
Because they went through a 15-minute package with Hunter in the ring, saying that these guys are going to be there. Then Michael Cole talking about how good they were as they introduced a video package talking about each performer. Well, why not just let them come out, and then Elias, if he's going to be putting over Aleister, why do the thing with the smoke and mirrors and Aleister coming out? Why doesn't he say, I saw somebody backstage from NXT, and I want to get him out of here because he and I have got unfinished business, and then let Aleister get over, because everybody's going to think Elias is going to win, right?
I agree.
Doesn't make sense, the creative path that they are doing, especially on Monday Night Raw. absolutely confuses me to no end, because they want the heat from the crowd and they take away the opportunity for the heat.
Mm-hmm.
They put out, frankly, over since November or since October, the last quarter of the year for Monday Night Raw was just pathetic. It was
absolute
bad.
Garbage.
Yeah.
Just garbage.
And then your champion is Brock Lesnar. And there would be no Brock Lesnar without Paul Heyman. Mm-hmm. So people don't, I mean, I'm not talking for everyone, but for a fan like me, if I even see Brock Lesnar coming on, I'm usually going to turn it off because I'm tired of the stick.
I'll say something that's kind of, still real to us. They have a really funny Instagram account. I don't know if you follow them on Instagram, but it's hilarious, right? And so I don't know if it was last week or a couple weeks ago, Brock was on Raw and he has his shirt off, and I know that Brock could tear me in a new butthole any day of the week, but Brock didn't look very good. He looked pretty out of shape. And he said that her meme was Brock out here looking like every white dad on the dance floor or something like that. And I was like, that's funny right there. You know, because Brock's like big and white and fat belly, and I mean, it's like, Brock, quit drinking beer and, you know, do some sit-ups, buddy.
Yeah. So, Pat McAfee, and I don't know this guy from Adam. I know he was just recently hired. We talked about it on our page here and on our podcast. But for you to attack a group of fans because they didn't react the way you wanted them to, mm-hmm. Well, maybe this crowd in Lafayette, they weren't allowed to get heat because – A, the storyline was not there. Who cares that, you know, Aleister Black is out there with Elias if you don't know the backstory? Mm-hmm. Who cares if Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa are going up against the Revival, who they wrestled in NXT, if you don't know the backstory?
Mm-hmm.
And there was no story buildup. I think the WWE, and I'm probably... If it gets back to these guys, they'll never let me in on an event and go, they're getting too full of themselves.
Well, and
they're not wanting to set up anything anymore.
I'll drink to that because, you know, we don't want to beat a dead horse here because we say it on every single show is that completely shows with the lack of use of good talent. You know, we see the same guys on TV, the same guys holding the belt. You know, why does Brock have the belt for 3 years straight? I mean, it has been 3 years straight with a little tiny bit of time in there that Roman had the belt. Come on. I know you're trying to get heat and stuff, but I think that the fans are tired of and they don't want to give the heat to Brock anymore. They're just like, whatever, you know, give somebody else the belt. I mean, for hell's sakes, I'd rather see R-Truth or little Jimmy have the belt right now.
Yeah.
You know? Hey,
did you see that meme that came out with
yes.
the WWE releasing little Jimmy?
Yes, that was pretty funny.
That was funny. But, yeah, I totally agree with you. As much as I love professional wrestling, and I'm not behind the scenes, so I don't know what's going on with creative. I know, and you and we talk about it a lot, we're fans, we know what we like, so we're going to talk about what we like. I give them props. I love what they've done with Kofi Kingston. I'm really interested in the storyline with Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, and Charlotte Flair leading up to WrestleMania. I'm loving that. Some people don't like it at all. But when it comes to expecting the crowd to react the way you want them to react, hey, Pat McAfee, give them a flippin' reason to react the way you want them to react.
Yeah.
Don't have them just react because, hey, the WWE's here in town. Well, mm-hmm. Kiss my shorts, you know? I just don't care right now.
Yeah. And, you know, he wasn't the only one criticizing. I mean, did you look at any of the comments on – I mean, like on Steel Real to Us on Instagram, There were several comments on WWE's YouTube channel when I was watching highlights saying how dead the crowd was and how they could not believe that the crowd wasn't cheering when like Aleister Black's music hit. They said it was just dead. And
Give them a reason.
Yeah.
There was no element of surprise.
Yeah.
They knew he was going to be there. There was no backstory for him and Elias to be getting together for any reason at all. It just, you got to give people a reason to cheer or to boo. You just can't expect them to.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no reason.
That's why I wish that, and I hope, that you'll see AEW really come on strong. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Why can't TNA and ROH make it to the next level? I mean, this is not talking about discrediting their talent. But what I'm saying is, why don't they have a good TV deal? Why don't we have some actual competition for the WWE? I mean, let's be honest. The ROH and TNA are not a threat to the WWE at all. If TNA flew to the moon, it would not hurt WWE's ratings or anything one itsy bitsy teeny tiny little witty bit.
No, and you said it. TV deal. You got the let's talk about TV deal. USA Network, one of the largest cable networks out there. NBC Television is behind it. Oh, so that's where SmackDown and Raw are now. SmackDown will be moving to Fox Sports later this year. Where do we find Impact?
What is it on that? I can't. What's the name of the network that it's even on now?
It was Pop TV. It was Destination America. To be honest with you, I can't remember. But you're talking about access.
The Pursuit Channel. What is the
Pursuit Channel?
It's
an outdoors channel. I don't have it.
And when they left Spike TV, that was the biggest mistake in the world, wasn't it?
It was. So that's why I'm hopeful that AEW will get a better TV distribution deal. There's been talk about TNT or TBS or even back on Spike TV. They've got to get a better deal than the Pursuit Channel, Destination America, U2 America, Pop TV. You've got to be in more homes to try to gain an audience.
So let me ask you a question then again. Is, you know, everybody says, oh, well, they don't need a TV deal with internet streaming and things nowadays, you know. And look at the powerhouse of the WWE Network. I mean, we laughed at the WWE Network, you know, when it first came out. And we were like, oh, that is the stupidest thing in the world. I mean, it's kind of like CNN, you know, an all-hours news station.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, all-wrestling station? Oh, my gosh. Cool, we'll try it out for a while. I don't know. I mean, there was a lot of people. I mean, when their stocks, when they announced the WWE Network, their stock went down like a huge number.
And it's still not a great success. The network is not an overwhelming success.
Yeah.
It is a success, but it's not overwhelming.
Yeah. And,
but why does AEW need a TV deal?
Yeah. That's where I guess so. That's my long way of getting to that. And then along with that, if I can throw this in there too, why does the WWE still need a TV deal? I mean, why don't they just go full-blown network and bump the price up the network $15 a month?
Three words for you, man. Three words. You ready?
Yeah.
Revenue. Money. TV deal, advertising, money. Revenue.
That's the part that you know more about than I do, because, you know, with your broadcasting background and your sales in radio, you actually owned your own radio station too for a while, didn't you?
Yes, I did, for about 7 years. Yes,
and I guess that was a key to the success of your radio station.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
advertising
without money, you're not going to do it. There's an old song written by Berry Gordy Jr., the founder of Motown Records. It says, "Your love gives me such a thrill, but your love, it don't pay my bills. I want money. That's what I want." The Flying Lizards also did that one, too. And the Beatles.
That's funny.
That's the whole thing, man. It comes down to revenue, to a money stream. Because you got to pay talent. You've got to pay the people that are running the cameras. You got to pay the people that set up the ring. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into the professional wrestling business, and it is a business that needs money. You can't expect people to do it absolutely for free at a high level like the WWE does.
It's been a while since I've asked this. Is your crystal ball there?
If it's not, it's packed away because we got everything packed away in our house, right?
Well, how are you going to – what about your magic eight ball? Can you shake that sucker real quick? Well,
I have a half-full Diet Mountain Dew bottle right here. We'll use that instead.
Yeah, well, look deep into the Diet Mountain Dew bottle and see if it tells you the future. Why are more networks not more interested in professional wrestling? Why just USA? I mean, obviously Fox Sports must have been interested in it because they gave the WWE a substantial amount of cash, man.
Okay, historically, you're going to have to go back a little bit, and one of your favorites, Hulk Hogan, and also Vince McMahon, when all the steroids scandals started going down, and then the Chris Benoit situation, and all the deaths of all these wrestlers from drug abuse. There were several advertisers that did not want their product associated with professional wrestling. I might even be able to do some research and tell you who it was down the road. We've seen it in other forms of media. Rush Limbaugh is one. Sean Hannity is another. There are a lot of advertisers that will not let their product be associated in any shape or form with those particular programs. Same thing happened with the WWE during that era, with the steroid era. Now, what Vince has done, and he lucked out so much with the Attitude Era and some of the stuff that has happened, but he's also a brilliant businessman. He found other revenue streams. He took everything national and international, and he found other revenue streams besides just the advertising. Merchandise. I mean, if you go to the WWE store, you see some pretty cool stuff there. That makes the money. It's all revenue stream, but the other smaller promotions, they struggle to get that revenue stream because there are several products out there that do not want their name associated with a product like professional wrestling. Just a few years ago, YouTube announced that some of the professional wrestling programs that they had on YouTube would not be supported anymore.
I remember us talking about that.
Because of that very reason. Yeah, that was probably about 4 or 5 years ago.
And I remember you talked about that on the podcast not very long ago.
Yeah, I got really indignant. I think even though we've talked about social media so much on the program, I think now even though there are people out there that threaten boycotts and do all this and that because they don't agree with somebody or some program, that more and more of the national advertisers are pretty much saying, you know what? The people that support this product or support this program, if it's not illegal and not blatantly racist, blatantly sexist, I mean, we're talking blatant stuff here. Mm-hmm. They have money and we need their revenue to buy our product. And then they advertise on the wrestling product. That's the way things should go. And, but I'm not going to tell any ad agency or any business that they have to advertise on professional wrestling if they really don't want to. That's their prerogative. But don't expect me to support their business if I find out that they don't support something I like. That's just the way it is.
If I were an advertiser, which I'm not, you know, but you would think you'd want to get your product out in any way, shape, or form. And, you know, it's just like NASCAR. I mean, there's a lot of people who don't like NASCAR, and they think that it's silly, and they don't understand. And, you know, NASCAR's even taken a pretty big hit in the last probably 10 years, wouldn't you say? But I guess my point is what's changed in the last 15 years to where, you know, it's almost like they talk about, you know how they talk about the movies that are, what do they call it, like, where they only appeal to a certain crowd. I'm drawing a blank here. They call it a cult. It's developed a cult following, you know, and I guess, is that the way that things like entertainment, like sports entertainment and stuff is going? Is it just a cult following? Is there only a selective group of people that follow it anymore? Because think again, back to 15 years ago, everybody and their dog was watching Bill Goldberg's streak and Spear and Hollywood Hogan, you know, on Nitro, and everybody was watching Stone Cold Steve Austin flip Vince McMahon off and give him the center. I mean, if they weren't a wrestling fan, you know dang well they had it on their TV.
Well, you're pretty much answering your own question if you'll listen to my reasoning here. There are so many different choices now for our entertainment dollar. You've got the proliferation of video games, cell phone usage, streaming services, college athletics, pro athletics, professional wrestling, NASCAR, professional soccer, you name it. I mean, there's a professional lingerie football league of all things, you know. There's just a lot of competition for that advertising and for mining your dollars. I mean, can you go see everything you want to see or do everything you would love to do, huh?
Well, Dave, as long as I get to talk to you, that's good enough.
But, it all goes back to money. And then things are cyclical, too. You look at what happened with NASCAR, and I'm just going to give you my opinion, because I was a big NASCAR fan for quite a while, but I got tired of the Bush brothers. Their attitude, the way they were running their races. I know you're not a big NFL fan because of the things, some of the attitudes of some of the athletes, same way at the NBA. I used to watch the NBA all the time. NBA officials have the star system out there, and you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
There are certain players who can get away with murder. Same thing happened in NASCAR. I just got tired of these guys getting away with things, and then, you know, like, we're all supposed to like it. Well, here I am watching professional wrestling. The same guys are getting away things, but I'm in on the act. I know that that official is going to turn his head at the wrong moment and miss that blind tag, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everything's cyclical. Everything, we have so many more choices for our advertising dollars. It's just amazing. So, well, I don't know if there's any quick answers. I think you're always going to have an audience for the WWE, the building of the independents, I think is going to hurt them just a little bit, not much, because you've already got the NXT in Great Britain, and there's going to be an NXT soon in Germany. I wouldn't be surprised if they opened up an NXT in Japan pretty soon.
But in India's coming soon too, isn't it?
Oh, in India, yeah. And then China, look at, as China opens up, as their political climate changes, we've already had professional wrestling over in China with championship wrestling from Hollywood. Colt Cabana wrestled for the NWA title in China. So, you know, as markets open, there's going to be places for these other companies to get a foothold in. But is it going to be enough to take that giant footprint of the WWE? And it's going to be tough. I think you can lessen that footprint a little bit as the WWE alienates some of their fans, because right now I could care less if I watch Monday Night Raw, mm-hmm. even though tonight we've got something going on with Roman Reigns and also the Nature Boy's birthday party. I really want to see what's going on with both of those. But I'll probably record it and then fast forward through it tomorrow because I can't take 3 hours to watch a program that has about 90 minutes of a worthwhile product.
You know, MK talked about how he loved NXT and he thought it was wonderful because it gives people kind of like a minor league for the WWE. And, you know, more and more of these territories as they expand into other countries and it gives more and more people the opportunity. But then what, though, after that? I mean, at what point is the WWE roster so incredibly flooded? I mean, look at it right now. I mean, we've got 205 Live, WWE NXT, NXT UK. Do they still do superstars?
I'll go back to our Facebook page last week when we were talking about the NXT roster call-ups with the four that debuted last week. Andrew Sowell, who's a performer himself out of Salt Lake City, he said, yeah, they have. What are they going to do with their other 49 stars that they have on the roster right now?
Yeah.
Huh?
Good point.
Yeah, Andrew, you the man. So, yeah.
Again, as Dave always says, and as I always say, we're fans. We don't write the songs that make the whole world sing.
I just play them on the radio.
Yes, you do.
Maybe not. Cheap.
Maybe not that long ago.
I'm going to get in trouble for that one. Yeah. But no, we're on the road to WrestleMania, and I'm hoping Mania is going to be fantastic. You got Fastlane coming up next month. I think it's going to be a great show. If they work the Daniel Bryan, Kofi Kingston act right, and Kofi Kingston might even be able to win that title. I would think that would be fantastic.
I love it. I hope that he can.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think he will, but
no, I don't either. So, but yeah. Once again, I want to thank you for that interview. It was great, and the guys down at Devotion. I hope to see you sometime this spring or early summer. And UCW Zero, I want to see you guys too. And if by chance I can make it to Las Vegas sometime when one of those promotions is promoting down there, and MK will keep us up to date with that, I'm sure. I will drop by and try to see their wrestling too. But right now I got to pay for all this flooring I'm having put in my house. So.
Oh, come on. That stuff's just money, right?
Just money. Your love gives me such a thrill, but your love, it don't pay my bills.
Well, yes.
I want money.
Well, Dave, what a great, great topic you've picked and to lead us into Road to WrestleMania. And it's as I say every time on the podcast, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan.
Even when we complain, we still love it.
If I can say real quick, if I can go on another little soapbox, because I know I've talked about it a lot tonight, but it was amazing how it just sparked going to that DCW event, because it's been over a year since I've gone to anything live. The last one live event I think I went to was with you when we went to that Lucha, when La Parca was in at UCW, and that was like the worst match of the night. We liked all the rest of the matches, but that one. But anyways, I haven't been to an event since then, and it was crazy to how much it sparked just, I guess, excitement for professional wrestling. You know, as you kind of get in a rut and you're like, it's the same old things on Raw, it's the same things here. But you go and you see these guys out there that, you know, maybe the moves aren't as clean as the WWE, but by golly, they are out there giving it their all. And, you know, the coolest thing I think I saw last night was after it was all said and done, after the dust settled, the crowd was leaving, here comes out four or five guys from the back that wrestled that night. They set their bags down and they start taking down the ring. And they start hauling the ring, you know, they start taking the canvas off and grabbing the boards and undoing the metal, the steel, carrying out ring posts. And I thought, you know, these guys honestly and truly love what they're doing. And I just thought, how awesome is that? I mean, they probably got $50, if that, or maybe even performed for free. They put their body and their time on the line so that me and my kid could be entertained for, you know, 2 solid hours straight. And that is what it is. And that's what MK says the difference between a WWE fan is and a wrestling fan is. That's why somebody like Manny out there busting his butt trying to scrape, scratch, claw to get DCW out there, to get that name, to get that brand. And I love what he mentioned about his brand. You know, he says that he's trying to build his brand, because that's what it is. You talk about the recognition and the name of the WWE is so big and so large. They have built and they've marketed that brand. And I just loved the fact that these guys are all there that night trying to build their brand.
Well said, well said. I think that's where we're going to end it right there, man, because I can't add anything to what you just said.
Well, thanks, Dave. I kind of got off on a little tangent there.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair, woo!
Marlon Brando?
Yeah,
this is over, man. We can't be friends.
Oh, thanks, man. Did I do okay? And, you know, and I was like,
I hope she produces me some of that pie here pretty quick. We've got in the refrigerator.
Back in the day when men were men and sheep were scared.
People are assholes.
By the rules of the internet, Dave, we officially have to hate each other now.
We will, because it's the official rules of the internet.
You big duty head. Bucks a month.
Three words for you, man. Three words. You ready?
Yeah.
Revenue.
Hey, you know what? At least I'm not this guy. I'm not 3/4 brain dead.
Manny Lemons is the man, the brand, the king of the lemonade stand. He hails high, plucked from the lemon tree.
So with Manny and the lemons and Tom and the pineapples, they call themselves fruit salad?
I was like, that is a devoted wrestling fan.